Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to close your eyes. Would you close your eyes? And I want you to keep your eyes closed for a few seconds. What's it like? You can open them now. I don't think anybody in the church tonight would want their eyes to remain closed for any longer than those few seconds. But the reason that I asked you to close your eyes for those few seconds was so that you might get a picture of what it was like for the man that we have read of tonight, blind Bartimaeus. You see, his eyes were without sight permanently. But thank God for the glorious day that came whenever the Lord Jesus Christ passed his way. And that's the text for tonight. That's what we want to think about this evening. We want to think about just five words that we have read from Luke 18 and verse 37. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. This was good news for blind Bartimaeus because he needed help from heaven. There was only one person who could help him, and that was Jesus of Nazareth. And that reminds me that there's only one person who can help you this evening. Those of you who have come to the meeting, and we're glad that you have come, but as you worship with us this evening, your heart's not right with God. Now, who can make your heart right? Who can cleanse your heart from sin? Who can make you into a new creature? Well, there's only one person who can do that. Jesus of Nazareth. What a day this was for Bartimaeus. I don't know how old he was. I would imagine, and from reading commentators and scholars, I would imagine that he was quite elderly. And here's a man who no doubt has been carried by kind people and has been placed on the entering in to Jericho. He's been placed at the entrance to this city day by day. And he's placed there to beg. And day by day he's sitting there and he's begging. And the weeks go by and the months go by and the years go by and every day seems to be the same. Sometimes God's work is like that, isn't it? Sometimes church life is like that. It just seems to be the same week by week, month by month, year by year. But then a special day comes. Then there's a different day. And for this church, that will be the day when a sinner gets converted. For this church, that will be a day when some needy soul makes their way to the house of God. Those are the days that we want to see. Isn't that right? Special, unusual days. Days whenever God draws near, whenever the Lord Jesus passes by, just as he does here in Luke 18. So just let me interject that little encouragement for the people of God here this evening. I know that you might feel as if the work of God just seems to be mundane and it seems just to be the same week after week, and you're teaching the children or you're going out to the creche or you're helping in God's work. You're seeking to do something for the Lord and it all just seems to be so monotonous. Well, think of it, Bartimaeus, because his life was monotonous. But then the day came. And you know, the church today has to keep that in mind. We as a church and the church across the land tonight need to remember that the day is coming when the Lord will visit us, just as He visited Jericho that day. Now, before you think that we're going back to revival, we're not going back to revival. But let me just put that in as an encouragement to God's people. When I look at this text of Scripture, I see two things. Opposition and opportunity. Those are the two thoughts that come to me. Those are the two themes that come to us from the verse. Opposition and opportunity. Where's the opposition? Well, notice that word Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Why didn't the Holy Spirit just leave it at Jesus? Why did the Holy Spirit add of Nazareth? Well, I believe that He's pointing us back to Luke chapter 4. Turn back to Luke chapter 4 and let's read about what happened at Nazareth. Luke chapter 4. And could we read from verse 16? Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Now, everything seems to be going swimmingly at this stage. Everybody is transfixed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody focuses upon him. People are amazed at him. And we think that everything's going well. But move on down the chapter. Verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Here we have opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have these people who heard him read the scriptures. And what a privilege that was for these people. They were a select few, we could say, because only very few people have heard the Lord Jesus reading the scriptures. There has only been a few people throughout history who have heard the Savior read the Word of God, and those people were right here at Nazareth. What a privileged people they were. And yet, what was their response? They opposed him. They rejected him. My dear friend, tonight you're very privileged to be in this meeting. Not because I'm the preacher, but because we have the Word of God. Because we have this book, you're very privileged. You would be privileged if you could only come tonight and never come again. But you can come Sunday by Sunday. What a privilege for you. But let me ask you this. How do you respond to the message? Well, let me be even more specific. How do you respond to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because at the end of the day, you will not just respond to the preaching of the gospel tonight, but you'll respond to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every gospel meeting that people go out of, they are responding to Jesus Christ. Tell me this, what will your response be this evening? Will it be opposition like the people of Nazareth? Now, remember what they did. Or remember what they tried to do. They tried to throw him over the edge of a cliff. Read it again. Verse 29. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. What a dreadful thing to do. Imagine trying to do that to the Son of God. Imagine trying to do that to the one who came from his Father's right hand down into this stinking, sin-drenched world to save these very people from Nazareth. To save these people who live at Nazareth. And what was their response? They took him out and they wanted to throw him over the edge off the cliff. Terrible thing for them to do. But you know, dear friend, if you reject the gospel this evening, you will be doing exactly the same thing. You might as well be standing at the edge of that cliff in Nazareth, holding the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to throw him over the edge. You say tonight, I would never do that. I would never do such a despicable thing. I would never try to do such a despicable thing, especially to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're doing exactly the same tonight by rejecting the gospel. You're doing just the same. You're opposing the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe sense has prevailed upon you. Maybe the Holy Spirit has opened your blinded eyes. And maybe there's a wee flicker there in your heart this evening. There's a wee flicker of light. There's a wee spark being kindled. And the work has begun. And tonight is the night of your salvation. Tonight is the night when you're going to say, what odds about him or her? You're going to come to Christ despite them. Because maybe you're thinking of someone tonight. And that thought that you have about that person keeps you back from the Savior. Oh, you're going to come to the Savior tonight. You're going to have done with your opposition. I pray that that will happen this evening. So, first of all, we have opposition. And then we have opportunity. Not only does the text present us with Jesus of Nazareth, but then notice the last two words, passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And you know, dear friends, that word passeth is very significant. Because that means that he's passing right now. Luke, as he recorded this chapter, was describing how the Lord Jesus at that precise moment was passing by Bartimaeus. but you know he's passing by this church this evening. Indeed, I believe that he's in the church this evening. Even though, like Bartimaeus, we cannot see him with our eyes, yet he is with us. And he passeth by this evening. And let me just say that he's passing by for God's people, to encourage God's people. He's passing by to encourage some child of God who has come this evening with a burden upon their back. Now, as the pastor of the church, I try to get to know you, dear people, and I try to get to know your problems, and I try to sympathize with your heartaches. But you know, at the end of the day, I don't know the half of what you're going through. But I'm glad that Jesus of Nazareth knows what you're going through. And he knows what I'm going through as well. He knows what his people are going through. The pastor might not know. Husbands might not know. The wife might not know. Nobody else might know. But Jesus of Nazareth knows. And he comes to New Buildings Independent Methodist Church tonight so that he can encourage his blood-bought children. Are you discouraged this evening? Look to Jesus of Nazareth. Meet afresh with Jesus of Nazareth. Even as you sit here this evening, child of God, listening to the Word of God, you know, I am thrilled at the thought that Jesus of Nazareth comes in here and he goes to your pew and your pew and your pew and he comes to encourage you. But then, of course, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by for those who are without him, for those who are perishing, for the ungodly, for the unconverted. The Lord Jesus Christ passeth by this church tonight so that he might save the lost, so that he might lift you from the dunghill of sin. Those of you here this evening who have never drunk from the well of salvation, those of you here this evening who know nothing of the peace of God that Christ can give, those of you here this evening who know nothing of the forgiveness of sins, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by so that you might experience all those things. Every one of them rolled into one. They're all for you. What a privilege. What an amazing thought to consider that he's actually here this evening. March the 29th, 2009, nearly 8 o'clock, and Jesus of Nazareth is here. He's passing by. He's passing by for those who are without him, for those who need a Savior. If you'll only reach out to him tonight, if those listening to the CDs will only reach out to him wherever they're listening from, if those who are listening on the internet will only reach out to him, if you'll only cry out to him where you are, he'll save you. Do you know, there's a lovely passage back in the Old Testament. Indeed, there are two passages that I want you to turn to with me. Because there are two lovely parallel passages in the Old Testament that describe for us the Lord Jesus Christ passing by. Turn to Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33. And notice that the Lord Jesus passes by Moses. Exodus 33. Now, of course, his name isn't mentioned. The name Jesus of Nazareth isn't mentioned, but it's the Lord. And whenever you see that word Lord, and you see the four capital letters, L-O-R-D, capital letters, whenever you see that, remember that it's Jesus Christ. That's who the scriptures are referring to. So Exodus 33, and I want you to go down to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now notice verse 19. This is one of the verses that I really want you to grasp hold of. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So there's the reference to passing by. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Verse 20, and he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory, what? Passeth by. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ passing by, the glory of God. You remember way back last year, maybe you don't, but we spoke about Romans 3:23. And we talked about the Lord Jesus being the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, when it uses that term, the glory of God, that's a clear reference to Christ. And here it is again, the glory of the Lord. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by. You know that day that Bartimaeus was sitting by the wayside begging, God's glory passed by him. The glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, passed by him. Verse 22, let's just read the rest of the verse. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now notice what actually happened. Move into chapter 34 and verse 4. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there. Again, what we're reading of describes the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. This is before he came to Bethlehem, centuries before he came to Bethlehem. He has come down to pass by Moses, to bless Moses, to meet his need. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Here we have Moses experiencing what blind Bartimaeus experienced. He experienced the Lord Jesus Christ passing by, Jesus of Nazareth passing by. But this same Jesus of Nazareth is passing by you tonight, the same person who passed by Moses and blind Bartimaeus. He's passing by you tonight. Passing by, that means that he'll soon be gone. Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon will we drift to eternity's shore. Haste then, my brother, no time for delay. But out with the lifeboat. Away then, away. Oh, he's passing by you this evening. Grasp hold of the opportunity. Those of you who are perishing, you might be church-going and religious and decent people, but nonetheless you'll end up in hell if you don't reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. And then I refer to another Old Testament passage. Turn with me to this as we close. Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. And again, we are confronted with this lovely image of the Lord passing by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Chapter 16 of Ezekiel and verse 6. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee. Notice this continual reference to passing by. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. We'll not take the time to read on down, but we have some beautiful verses there that describe for us what the Lord Jesus Christ does for the sinner that responds to him. Here is a beautiful description of what the Lord Jesus Christ does for those who will cry out to him for mercy. And he'll do this for you, dear friend, if only you'll cry out to him this evening. He's passing by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Oh, let me encourage you to reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Did you get it? Your need. Whatever it is. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Amen. Now let's turn to the final hymn and let us bring our meeting to a conclusion. We're going to turn to number 334. 334. 334. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. 334.